Speak into the mic.
I will do. Thank you, Tony. My name's Mickey. I'm an addict.
I'm Mickey.
Some people also know me as Michael. Since I got clean, it's my real name. My original name's found its way back in a little bit. So, but throughout my using, I was known as Mickey. But I'm an addict.
Hello.
And that's 100% sure of that. So, sorry to be late. Sorry to miss the beginning of your chair. You know, I was working. You know, I've got a job. I left there and I got a wonderful job. I got an absolutely amazing job. And I finish a Friday evening. I work on Friday evenings. It finishes like the beginning of the week. You know, I'll get to that. Hopefully I'll get to that. And, you know, I come here and I think, you know, when I first come here, you know, I hate hearing myself speak now. You know, I've had enough of hearing myself speak. You know, it's not like, when I first got clean, it was, you know, I want to speak everywhere. And now I'm like, and I would speak everywhere. You know, you'd be in a conversation and I'd go, you'd say something, I'd go, and I done that, da-da-da-da-da, and I'd just hijack every conversation. And, you know, I didn't have anything much more about me at that time. And, you know, and I would just take everything that everyone said, I would grab onto it. You know, if someone went to the doctors, I went to the doctors. If someone had a dog, I had a dog. You know, I couldn't not do it. Yeah? It's just how it was. And, you know, and I didn't have much more. I didn't have much more apart, so I was trying to find something of myself. And people say this program, my sponsor always says to me, this is a selfless program, yeah? But in this selfless program, I have found myself. And I'm all right with that. And, you know, so when I come here, I didn't, and thanks for the, I caught the end of your chair, thank you very much. Thanks everyone for being here. When I come here, I never had a job. I'd never had a job, and you know, and I need to remember how difficult it is to not use. You know, I can come here and I can sit here and I can tell you this, you know, this is this and this is that and this is, you know, I couldn't stop using. Yeah, but to stop using was just so, I couldn't even comprehend stopping using. Using works for me. I'm not an addict that using doesn't work for. It absolutely works for me. It worked for me then. It worked for me from the beginning. It worked for me till the end. You know, it worked because I don't know how to be me. And the more I'd got into that, the less I'd know how to be that. And so I'm not someone, and everyone's got a different story. That's absolutely fine. And mine is that I just was so petrified of not using, I couldn't even try to do that. You know, I even believed I don't want to get clean because it was probably less painful to think it's better to be like this. And, you know, and I come from a lot of dysfunction. You know, I had a very dysfunctional childhood. It doesn't make me that. I don't know what it does as it goes. I'm not going to sit here and go, it's this or it's that. I'm not going to say that because it certainly shaped me. And it certainly instilled things in me where I was very, very scared. It's a fundamental early development for me, shaped how I went on to my wider world. But, you know, there was no one at home. As a kid, there was no one there. There was no food there. You know, I was out, was hanging about on an estate. I was just being part of. I found something to be part of. And that worked. So it certainly played a part, I believe. In how I behaved, you know, I thieved from a very young age. I functioned for myself without any skills to do that. So my journey, my recovery. I pick up when I'm about 12, and I put down when I'm 38, and that's it. you know, that's it. And my recovery, well, as I say, my recovery started here. It didn't really. I got nicked here. And, you know, I was in Covent Garden and I committed an offence. And I was always in and out of jail. I was always in and out of jail. And it, as I say, it's not about you having to be in and out of jail. One way or another, you probably are, or were, or maybe could be. So, same for me. So when I say the last time I got nicked, I say the last time I got nicked so far. And so I committed an offence here, and they was on me. They, you know, I was very well known. You know, I'd walk through, someone had seen me, they'd got me, they was on me. They knew, you know what they know. They seen me, they, you know, it's not, we're not going to nick him tonight. It's, you know what, we're done for the evening. Yeah? We'll just sit on him, and our evening's done. We'll be back at the station very soon. Very, very soon. Don't take your eye off him, though. Yeah? Do not take your eye off him. Slippery. Yeah? Very, very slippery. And so what happened? So I commit the offence, and I see one of these police officers, Plainans, he runs past me, and as soon as he runs past me, my heart just sinks, because I know him. And it just sinks, you know. And the reason that it sinks is not because I'm going to be removed from my children again. And it's not because I'm going to be removed from my partner again. It's because I know the process of removing me from the substance has started. So, but I'm not going to take it that easily. Yeah, I'm just not going to, I'm not fair cop. It just doesn't happen. Yeah, doesn't matter of the circumstances, you're going to have to take me. And it's not that I'm anything, it's just that I'm very, very scared. Very, very scared of the separation from the relationship I have with the substance. And so he goes past me, I see him go past me, I can still feel it now. Even now, 14 years later, it's still painful. You know? He runs past me, and he goes to turn around. So he goes up a bit, so he's just getting room to come in on me. And I turn around, and of course they're there. And then I'm like a lunatic in Covent Garden, like a five-year-old in the playground, playing Ad or E or whatever you call it, you know, just trying to dodge them. I ain't going nowhere. There's about six of them. I'm about 7 stone. And, you know, and I can hardly breathe, and I'm done. I look like I've escaped from Belsen or somewhere like that. Yeah, my health isn't far off of like that. Yeah, I'm absolutely annihilated by the substance, but it's a relationship that I know, I trust, and I understand, and I don't have that in other areas of my life. And so I'm like a lunatic, you know. I'm trying to get away. Anyway, they end up pulling out their things. They end up hitting me. You know, I should have just. If I had any sense, I'd just go. It's done. It's done. I don't have that rationale. You know, and they're on me. And you know, I'm about 7 stone. I've got about 40 stone on me. But I ain't going nowhere. But I'm about that big, so I'm trying just not to go on the floor. But I'm as close to going on the floor as you can get to going on the floor without being on the floor. And I'm just dragging them around, like, all over, and, you know, and they get me down, they beat me up, I've been whacked up, and they take me to the police station just here. They take me to Charing Cross Police Station, and then, you know, that's the start of how I get clean. So I didn't want to stop using. Well, maybe I did, but it wasn't my awareness of that wasn't that strong. So I was more on, I want to use, this is what I've got to do, I'm going to do this, ways and means of getting more, this is what I'm going to do. And I had lots of consequences. I had horrendous consequences. You know, I put substances, I put my children second to substances. Put my partner second to substances, put my family second to substances, and I put myself second to substances. And, you know, it's, You know, when I had my children removed, the social services got involved. And this, as I said, this isn't everyone's story, and it doesn't, you know, I'm glad it's not everyone's story. I'm glad we've all got different stories, and I'm glad there's some diversity and there's difference, and I'm glad of that here now. I didn't like it when I first come, because I wanted everyone to be the same. And I suppose my addiction allows that to happen where everyone's the same as well. So what happens, so social services come to my house, you know, normal stuff, not taking my kids to school on time, missing days. You know, I was such a bad dad. I thought I was a great dad. Once I took my son to school, I've got two sons. Once I took my son to school, the youngest one to school, and the teacher came out of the classroom and said, you know what, you're 20 minutes late every day. Every day. She said, how do you think that impacts on his schooling? My response was, who do you think you're talking to? Yeah? What's going on here? You're having a laugh, aren't you? Start telling me about da 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 da. And so I couldn't grasp situations in the right way. And then social services get involved, and they go, we want you to stop using. So you might as well ask me to speak Russian. Right here, right now. You know, don't go to school and learn to speak Russian. Start speaking Russian. Because they're talking a language I cannot comprehend. I don't even know. I ain't got a clue how you do that. How do you do that? How do you stop using? You stop using by using some more and doing it later, don't you? That's how you stop using. Yeah? You do it tomorrow. You stop using tomorrow. That's, you know. So it ends with a thing where, you know, they're getting, you know, and I love my children. Absolutely worship my children. They never got involved to remove my children because I didn't love them. That was never the reason why they done what they done. They done what they done because of how I was and what I was doing. And you know, they. So what happens in the end is, it goes on court process. I'm like, you're taking liberties. Get away from. Don't come near my house. Get away. Just do everything. And then it's on Easter Friday. And I'm asleep in the house on Friday, and one of my sons is there, and my other son's at his nan's. And as I'm laying there, also I'm just asleep, and then I hear boom, 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 and all the windows start going boom, boom, boom. There's lights flashing out the front, the door's going bang, bang, bang. All the windows are rattling. Anyway, I go out the window, and I'm gone. And the mother of my children, my ex-partner, she rang me, and she said, they haven't come for you. They've come for the children. And I breathed a sigh of relief. Yeah, I breathed a sigh of relief. Because when I went out that window, I had the same experience that I had when I went in Covent Garden, the exact same experience about the separation from the substance. And it was the only thing that go for, and I didn't think they were going to take my children. I was thinking they're going to take me. And, you know, so that's you know, I can tell you how good it was, my using, and you know, and sometimes some parts of it was great. I've done some prison sentences that felt great, you know, it was, you know, but it's not what I really need to focus on. Yeah? Not gonna really serve me that well. But it's true. It's true, you know, I've done prison sentences, we were all pals, we was all using, I was sunbathing. You know, I was in Hastings, you know, semi-open prison, smoking a joint, using, watching the horse in the next field. It didn't really feel that bad, yeah? As punishment. But the one with my children really, really hurt. Still hurts. And I can still remember it the same way I can still remember that sinking feeling. You know, it's still there. So lots of consequences. But my consequences don't stop me from using. Yeah. So what happens when I get nicked here? I end up in a court that's just around the corner, and I know that where I've committed the offence is the wrong. I'm nicked in the wrong place. So I just know that. There's some places where you can go and get nicked, and they go, yeah, go away. They give you a little fine, or not fine, or a little sentence, or something like that. And some places you know that it's more the establishment, and you know that. you're not going to walk away from this one so easily. So I go to Bow Street there, the magistrates, and I try and blink and pretend I'm not a victim, as my barrister's talking, you know, like try and drop some moves to like make him like it's going to suffer me or something. And he sent me to Crown Court for sentence. I put a guilty plea. I thought, let's try and nick 6 months here. Let's just get a quick 6 months and lovely, we're good. So he sent me for sentencing at Crown Court. When I go up for sentence, when I'm on trial, when I'm waiting, sorry, a probation officer comes to visit me. So I say to her, she says to me, she wants me to tell her why I commit crime and why I use, and how they link together. And I say to her, it's nothing to do with it. Absolutely got nothing to do with my offending. I offend because I choose to offend. And I thought I was being quite smart, but what I was doing, I just protect my illness, I protect this addiction, I protect it. And she ended up writing a report for the court that said that this guy has no empathy for his victims. And that's me being smart. Do you know what I mean? And, so what happened? So I get a judge, and I spent lots of time away, and... You know, I was one of them, you know, I thought, you know, they used to have, it was like a DTTO, they called it a DRR, and that was like a community, like a sentence, a resident or something. But I used to think, I'll save that. I'll save it till I'm in real trouble. Yeah. We're talking 20 years later. Spent a lot of time away. But I still don't think I'm in real trouble. So I still play the card, just sentence me, just deal with me, just, you know what, let's get it done. So the judge says to me, he stops my barrister. My barrister stands up. He says, you know what, sit back down. You know, sit back down. He said to me, stand up. So I stood up. He said to me, listen. He said to me, prison doesn't work for you. He said, it hasn't worked. He said, but my duty is to protect the public. He said, so what I'm going to do, he said, I've read the reports. He said, I'm going to remand you in custody again. When you come back, if you haven't thought differently to how you've presented in this report, I'm going to give you a substantial prison sentence. So I'm like that, all right, lovely. So I come out of the court, I go back into the cells. As I'm going back down to the cells, I'm like, where's the probation? You know, where's the probation officer here? I want to go into a rehab. And then the probationer said, well, why do you want to go into a rehab? I said, I think it's just about time now. But I don't want to really do that. That's not what I want to do. He just said something. I've grabbed onto it. Sounds great. And he might let me go. So what happens then? So I'm all, you know, just grafting everything. I'm just on. I'm up and running. Up and loot, like gone, you know. And then I get my mum involved. Mum, you got. So anyway, it starts going that way. I'm gonna get a rehab. I still don't want to stop using, but it sounds better than a substantial custodial sentence. So I start. Mum, you got to help me. It's all your fault. That childhood you gave me. You know, they wanted someone to take me. I want you to take me. You got to take me. She's a pensioner. At that time, she's about 60 or something like that. You've got to do it, Mum. You've got to turn up for me. I need you, Mum. Yeah? You've got to do it. They're going to send some lunatic from the prison with me who I need you. So all of a sudden it goes on and on. And I just graft it. And it, you know, and it's all falling into place. It's falling into place good. And I share this story, you know, I share it every time. So I end up in the cold. I'm going to get sentenced, and I'm in this, so I go up, I'm 38, I go upstairs, he goes, okay, so we're going to send you a rehab. So then they go, all right, we're going to give him this order, then they go, where's his mum? They go, his mum's not here. Don't let him go till his mum's here. I'm 38. So I'm downstairs in the cells, we're all smoking, then you can't see anything, there's three of us, a couple of younger kids. I'm not a kid. They say I think I'm a kid. There's two young kids and this old lag. And, you know, we're all smoking, and you can't see anything. We're just, I'm just telling them stories. You know, I've had this, I've had that. He's my pal. She's no good, he's no good, they're no good, they're no good, he's no good, he's wrong, she's wrong, da da da, sweet, sweet, all that sort of stuff. I'm halfway through a story, and the prison officer opens the door. I would have called him a screw before, but the prison officer opened the door, and he's, I'm in the middle of a story, right on the flow, and he said, you can go now, your mum's here. So what I do, so they let me out. I just take her. Come on. Come on, let's go. 60-year-old lady. Having her marching about on an estate with me. Yeah? Well, I go to get something. And she takes me to the train station. I get on the train, I get to the rehab. I'm using throughout the time in the prison. I need a detox. They give me a detox and the drugs I brought in myself. I think it's brilliant here. I think it's absolutely great. I'm like that. I think I'm gonna stay here for a year. And then the detox and the drugs run out on the same day. On the 27th of July, 2004. So I still don't want to stop you. I don't want to stop using. The last thing I want to do. So anyway, I'm there. I'm finding it very difficult. I can't comply. I don't know how to comply. I don't know. I just don't know how to do that. You know, like that, just sticking it on me. All that group stuff. I'm like, getting me at it. And you know, like them in pals all the time, and then they're grassing me up in group. Like, I don't get this. They're using a mad language. It's like the Russian, the social services hard me to learn to speak. They're talking about denial and one they used to say was what's the word? Procrastination. That's the thing. I thought I was talking about shellfish or something. That's the thing. What are they talking about? You know, they'd come. I'd be like, I just couldn't get it. You know, I was just like, I didn't have a clue what I was doing. And it goes on, and a little bit of time goes on, and you know, and I've spent the remand time. The time I spent on remand is done. That was the biggest regret I had. That I thought I should have just took the sentence. Should have just took it. Would have been a fifth of the way through it now, or a sixth of the way through it. But it's something that I know. So all of a sudden, you know, they're like, you know, they'd all be on me in group, you know, you're powerless, you're this, you're that, you're powerless. I'd go, I could be that easy. They'd go, and then one day, they was on me, they was going to breach me. They was going to take me back. So I said, all right, I'm powerless. They went, yeah, you know. So I was like, I was gone, I was up and running, everything, powerless, powerless to everything, everything. I had no idea whatsoever what it was. Yeah, they, I remember one day he said to me, "You ain't shaved." I said, "I'm powerless." And I couldn't understand why he had the ump when I said that. I think, you know, I looked at him, why didn't it work that time? It's been working every other thing. Every other time I've said it, it's worked. Yeah, I'm saying it around people that really don't know what it means as well. So we're all just saying it. We're all just saying it. Absolutely everyone. So I do that, so I start going to meetings. But I like the meetings. I start going to the meetings, you know, all my teeth are broken, you know, I've got a bottle of aftershave I nicked off my brother on an home visit, I spray that on, go to the meeting, I go in the meeting, if there's a woman in the meeting doing a chair, I think this is a great meeting. If it's a man, I think this is a terrible meeting. And but you know, I started to do it. You know, the thing of wanting to use started to leave me. The thing of wanting to stay clean found its way in. You know, I started to, you know, I wasn't hurting no more. Psychologically, I wasn't in so much trouble. And I was liking it. You know, I was waking up in the morning, I was having a roll up and a cup of coffee, and I was thinking, I'm all right. I had nothing. Nothing. You know, I'd sit in the back of this rehab and just watch the birds. You know, I'd just be like, wow. I don't want to go all down that street with you. But I was just like, wow, what's happening here? And it happened. And you know, and then I started. So I spent. How long have I got left?
About 10 minutes.
10 minutes. Okay, thank you. So I come back to London. I run out of there. That treatment centre. When it finished, I run out. You've never seen anyone leave so quick. You know, like, yeah, I'm powerless on my way. Yeah. So, and I come back to London and I'm going to meetings. You know, I'm going to meetings and I'm banging it out. My name's Mickey. I'm an addict. I'm powerless. I've got a sponsor. So I say, my name's Mickey. I'm an addict. I'm powerless. I spoke to my sponsor about it. Working his programs to the best of my ability. I wasn't doing anything. I weren't speaking to the sponsor, but I wasn't. I was doing that. I wasn't using. And I was getting to meetings. And you know, that went on and went on. I get to about 18 months clean. I used to be outside the meeting taking the piss out of everyone inside the meeting. You could smoke in the meeting then. I'd be outside smoking. Yeah? The smoke in the meeting room was the same as the smoke in the cell. But I'd still go outside because I just couldn't be in the meeting. And I'd take the piss out of everyone inside the meeting. And the people I used to take the piss out of with outside the meeting all used to change. So they're always different. They'd all fall off. And then 18 months, I got it. I thought, oh, easy. I've got it, though. I've gone, but I need to get in now. So then I'm in the meeting, and a fella's in the meeting speaking, and he says, last time I was at this meeting, everyone went out after the chair finished. So he said, I'm starting to think the message is out there. So I got that really upset me, because I was just waiting for him to finish to go out for a cigarette. And then I knew what he was talking about, and I asked him to sponsor me, and you know, and then I started to do the work, and I developed an amazing relationship with this guy, and I've been in that relationship with him for 12 years, and you know, and I've never used, and so far, and it's not about if, it's about when. So you know, and then I started to do a little bit of service. You know, I took a literature commitment. And I was just, you know, that self-obsession, you know, that when you first get that, just consumed with thinking about myself. So they turned all the lights off in this meeting. They went, at the end of the meeting, you announced the literature commitment. I was like, all through the meeting, boom, 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 thinking, I've got to do this. I couldn't hear a word. Gets to the end of the meeting, they went, turn the lights. And as I went, turn the lights, I went, the fella next to me. I said, listen, mate, I'm the literature person for this meeting, but I've just got to pop outside, announce this, and I'm gone. And I went outside and then come back, get the clap later, you know that? And then, you know, I took on a tea person, you know, and I'd make a cup of tea for people. And as people, I would make the tea, or they'd put their own sugar in, my world would just fall apart. It would just fall, you know, like that. That just, my internal world was so fragile, so fractured, that it would just fall apart for anything. I was built on sand. My internal workings was built on nothing. There was nothing there before, and there was nothing still there now. And, you know, so I'd be like that. So people put their own sugar in, I'd be in all kinds of trouble. People, you know, it was all over me. I just, you know. And then I started to take a secretary at a meeting, and it'd get to the time, and I'd just think, I'll just let you keep talking. I won't even mention the time. So it was at 7 o'clock start or 7:30 start. I'll just let you talk till 20 to 8, because less time looking forward. Less time looking in my direction. I couldn't bear that embarrassment or that shame of who I was. You know, I when I first got clean, I couldn't string a sentence together. I just couldn't do it. You know, the shame would be like whoosh. It would just come up and just whoosh. And as that came, my head would drop. And then, so I learned to do a few things here, went through the work, continued to do the work. Started taking other people through the work, developed great relationships with other people doing the work, still in relationships, still in long-term relationships with people where I do the work, where I sponsor them, where we hang out a bit now. You know, it's not how it was. It's very, very different. I'm all right with that. I'm not on people. You know what? You need to do 990 at 13 years clean or at 12. You know what? They're doing all right. You know, things change. I change. My relationship with my sponsors changed. I was with him the other night. He said to me, have you pulled back? I said, no, it's just things are different. Things are very, very different. And so I've done that. So I've done some training. I did a course. I wanted to be a drug worker, didn't I? Of course. What else do you do with faulty previous convictions? And so I go on a course. I think, yeah, I wanted to. So I do a drug awareness course. I go on this course. I haven't got a clue how to study. Got no idea at all how to study. Never studied. Never even went to school. And so. I copy someone's work. A copy, but he's a librarian. It's the worst person's work. Because he's a very, very bright guy. He gives me, it's like that. His work. I can't even do grammar. As I said, I know a capital letter goes at the beginning and a full stop goes at the end. That's where we're at. So anyway, I go to the woman. I've got the bit of work. I say to her, I haven't done the work. I haven't done it. So I don't produce the work. I say, I haven't done the work. Then after that, I go on and I train to be. I train to be a substance misuse worker. I do that for a little while. Done it for a long while. And then I did an introduction to counselling. And I'd done that. And then I'd done a diploma in counselling. And then I'd done a postgraduate diploma. And then I'd done a master's in psychotherapy. And you know, where I've been working tonight is as a psychotherapist. And I sit, you know, and I sit there, and I've really, really been blessed by coming to this fellowship. Because I didn't even want to stop using when I got here. Didn't want to stop using. Love not using. Yeah. I work in a couple of different places. I work with some people that would be described as very complex, where they need 24-hour care. And I sit in a room with these people on a one-to-one, and I think, how did this happen? How did this, you know? But I also think, I can help you. Yeah? I can help you. I can work. I can do this here. Yeah? So it's not so much, I don't have the inadequacy and the shame of being a fraud. I don't have it. You know, my children are back. You know, my life's wonderful. You know, I still fall out with myself. You know, I go off my nut occasionally. No, I don't go off my nut. I go in. You know, I crash. So it still falls apart, and then I just spin out. But I don't use. Continue to not use. And I love not using. And if you're new here, or and even if you ain't new here, you know. Even maybe for myself, you know, I keep coming. Yeah, so I wish everyone the best. It is difficult. It's difficult to stop using. But it's possible. It's possible. I'll end on this. When I got a year clean, I went into my dad to visit my dad in the pub. Not visit him, went in to see him. And it sounds like a prison thing, doesn't it? It was a pub. Maybe it felt like a visit. Yeah. I went in there. I said to him, and he was with his pal. He loved the bet. My dad died when I was 4.5 years clean. And I went in the pub and I went, Dad, I said, I'm a year clean today. And he was like, wow. And as I was about to leave the pub, his pal called me and he said, Mick, he said, if someone would have given me, he's a gambler, he said, if someone would give me 5,000 to 1, last year, on you getting a year clean, I wouldn't have put a pound on you. And I thought about it and I turned around and I said, nor would I. Yeah. When we cleaned out my dad's house, when he died, it kept all my key rings. It kept all of them, from the white one to the multiple of years one. Yeah. And then my brother got clean and I gave him the 12-month key ring at the Brixton meeting. But thanks for listening to me. Have a lovely evening.